My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from pages from 282. Behold, resolute in every good work, be especially generous in the words of kindness, tenderness, sympathy, and still more so in the words of compassion and mutual help. Consider despondency, despair in any good work as an illusion. Say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4, chapter 13, verse. Though indeed I am the greatest of sinners, all things are possible to him that believeth. St. Mark 9, chapter 23rd verse. It is necessary that the following words should be indelibly engraved upon our hearts. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. St. Mark 12, chapter 21st verse. And that these words should guide our heart upon meeting with everyone at any time, whether he comes to us or we go to him, whether we have to do some work for him or to give him anything or simply to converse with him. Thus bear in your heart the words, love him as thyself, and carry on a perpetual mental war with the observance of these living words of our Lord. Force yourself to mutual love. Intentionally trouble and disturb the worm of self-love, an evil concealed within you. Crucify it and conquer it by the power of the might. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. By the power of the might of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray for the repose of the soul of the departed, force yourself to pray with your whole heart, remembering that to do so is your essential duty, and not only that of a priest or an ecclesiastic. Represent to yourself how necessary repose is to the departed one, and how greatly he or she needs the prayer for him or her of the living, being a member of the one body of the church. How the demons are contesting his or her soul from the angels, and how it trembles, not knowing what eternal destiny will be. Our prayer of faith and love for the departed means much in the Lord's sight. Represent to yourself further how necessary rest in for you when you are bound by the fetters of sins, and how fervently, with what sincerity, ardor, and power you then pray to the Lord and to the Most Pure Mother of God, and how you rejoice and triumph when, after your fervent prayer, you obtain the remission of your sins and peace of heart. Apply all this to the soul of the departed. His or her soul also needs prayer, your prayer now, because it cannot pray fruitfully any longer itself. The soul of a departed also requires the rest which you can implore for it by means of your ardent prayer, joined to works of charity for the benefit of that soul, and especially by the offering of the bloodless sacrifice on its behalf. Drunkards, adulterers, gluttons, thieves, disturbers, idlers, card players, theater goers, dancers, idle speakers, scoffers, tell me, for what purpose was it that the Son of God came down from heaven, preached the gospel of the kingdom, worked innumerable miracles, suffered on the cross, died and rose from the dead, and sent the apostles into the world to preach the kingdom. Tell me, for what purpose was all this done? Was it that you should saturate yourself, get drunk, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, spend your time in idleness, in idle speaking, card playing, and theaters, dancing, and gossip? Oh, how dearly will you pay for your unevangelical life if you do not repent and amend? God's priests ought to be especially skillful in the art of overcoming evil with good, for they rest in the law of God and are acquainted with the numberless examples of the goodness of God's saints, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, David, Moses, Samuel, and especially of the God-man, Jesus Christ himself, who is our purest image, the apostles Peter, Paul, James, John, and others, the proto-martyrs, and the first deacon Stephen, and others, besides which they are often strengthened in the sacrament of the Holy Communion by the very source of goodness, our Lord Jesus Christ, and teach others how to overcome evil with good. Romans 12, chapter 21st verse. From a priest, if he has not learned to be meek, humble, and kind, and to overcome evil with good, a stricter account will be required than from a layman, for the priest is raised up to heaven by God's mysteries, and has received great powers for piety. If under these circumstances he does not live piously, he dooms himself to eternal fire through his impenitence, negligence, and incorruptibleness. My Lord, forgive me my sins and teach me to do thy will. Priests ought not to be overindulgent to sins and passions when it is necessary to uproot passions and bad habits. They must act boldly and firmly without fearing the malice of others and entirely despising it, although even on such occasion their actions should bear the character of gentleness and love and of a sincere desire for their brother's amendment. If nothing takes effect upon him, then they must not heed his danger and in ill humor, but do their duty with firmness, without being disturbed by outbursts of malice. Peace is evil with sinners, who put a bad construction upon every kind observation, every request, who only wish to see an aggression of malice in everything. Not being able to see the light themselves, they think others are blind too. Being evil themselves, they do not wish to see any good in others. When anyone out of kindness praises you to others, and they transmit these praises to you, do not consider them as a just tribute of esteem really due to you, but ascribe them solely to the kindness of the heart of the person who thus spoke of you, and pray to God for him, that God may strengthen him in his kindness of heart and in every virtue. But acknowledge yourself to be the greatest of sinners, not only out of humility, but truthfully, actually knowing as you do your evil deeds. May the infinite love and mercy of the Lord triumph in consequence of our sincere recognition and confession of our sins, and may the sinful flattery of the devil teaching us to conceal our sins and not to acknowledge them be covered with shame. May all the snares of the bonds of the devil be torn asunder by our repentance like a cobweb. The devil seeks that we should conceal our sins and thus give ourselves up to them in secret still more and more easily. But let us even be here destroying his snares and vials. Let us confess our sins in order that we ourselves and all others may see to what abomination we are going ourselves up, giving ourselves up, or have given ourselves up, and thus, by recognizing this abomination, we may more easily amend. Tell, it is said, of thine iniquities, and do not be silent about them, that thou mayest be justified. Say, I have nothing of my own, all is God's. Your own is an illusion of your flesh. All things are common. Such ought to be the words of the regenerate man. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Acts 4, chapter 32, verse. My Lord, it belongs to thee to give me this also. Brethren, prepare yourself for union with God. Give up earthly vanity. Apply yourself to the great work of self-purification and self-improvement. Love to progress in faith and virtue, and not to progress in the things of this world. Even here on earth we prepare ourselves to see there in eternity the maker of every visible and invisible creature, the beauty of all. To my pupils, you are my children, for I have begotten you through the gospel in Jesus Christ, my spiritual blood. For my teaching flows in your veins. I have given and give you to drink the milk of the word as a mother from her breast. You are my children, and therefore you are ever in my heart, and I pray for you. You are my children because you are my spiritual children. You are my children because, as a priest, I am truly a father, and you yourself call me father. My children, this word is very displeasing to the devil, who is the cause of dislike, malice, and hypocrisy. But I, God helping me, will not even for a moment obey him, and will not call you otherwise than my children. For you are my children by faith, by the Church of God, and by the instruction and fatherly guidance you receive from me. One can only truly call others children, my children, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of truth and love. When you are expecting powerful temptations from the enemy, arm yourself with all the armor of God, with faith, hope, and love. Keep in your heart the words, all things are possible to him that believeth, St. Mark 9, chapter 23, verse, and abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15, chapter 13, verse. Say, I do not doubt in and do not despair of anything good, although you, mine enemy, endeavor to sow both doubt and despair in me in regard to everything good, and especially in regard to the highest good, love. The God of love himself is with me, the God whose children we all are. I, unworthy as I am, bear the image of this very Father. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. St. John 17, chapter 6, 9th verse. To those who do not read the gospel, are you pure, holy, and perfect without reading the gospel? And is it not needful for you to look in this mirror? Or is it that your soul is so deformed that you are afraid of seeing your deformity? They looked into him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Do not be anxious about money. If you really need it, then God will send it to you, as he did the manna or quails to the Israelites. The earth is the Lord's and all that therein is, the compass of the world and they that dwell therein. First seek the kingdom of God, the salvation of men, their strengthening in faith, the amendment of their lives, strengthening yourself in faith, cleansing your heart consciously, fulfill your calling, carefully perform your duties, and everything else, such as money, food, clothing, etc., shall be added to you. O Holy Trinity, our God, in complex being, who has created our soul also after thine image, grant that we may have life and peace in thee. O Holy Trinity, our nourisher and hope, grant that we may ever put our trust in thee alone, and ever find life and peace in thee alone. Thou carriest us all like a mother in thine arms, and feedest all us all from thy hands like the most tender mother. Thou never forgettest us, and thou wilt never forget us. For thou thyself hast said, can a woman forget her suckling child? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Isaiah, that is, I will not cease to feed, preserve, protect, deliver, and save thee. Also, thou thyself hast said, I will never leave thee for nor forsake thee. The Hebrews 13, chapter 5, verse. Why then are we anxious about our food? Why are we so greedy? Why do we suffice and delight ourselves with dainties? Why do we grudge to share with our neighbor? O impiety, O blindness, O filthy self-love, O want of love for God and our neighbor, for God dwells in the person of our neighbor, and therefore we grudge his own gift to God himself. Remember how generously the spirit-bearing prophet Elisha rewarded the Shunammite woman who received him in her house and entertained him in the simplicity of her heart. He implored God to give her a son, and afterwards, when this son died, he raised him from the dead. Vain is our life, that is, vainly and for nothing, uselessly and for no purpose are the days of our lives, lost for eternity. We only care about earthly, worldly things and think but little of eternity. We do not represent to ourselves the future terrible judgment, future torment, and future endless bliss. We all live in a kind of a spiritual mist. The flesh and the passions has overpowered us, whilst the spirit is oppressed, crushed, stifled. But behold, the bridegroom of our soul cometh in the middle of the night, and blessed is that servant whom he shall find watching, but unworthy is he whom he shall find cast down. By worldly cares, beware then, my soul, lest thou be weighted down by sleep, lest thou be given over to death and be shut out from the kingdom. But arise and cry, Holy, holy, holy art thou to God, through the Mother of God, have mercy upon us. Preparing for the Matins in Passion Week. Believe that the prayer even of one friend of God, especially a priest of God who lives a holy life, can work wonders upon a considerable part of nature, as the prayers of the prophets Moses, Elijah, and others. Therefore, live in a manner pleasing to God, especially you who are priests of God. Be holy, pure, meek, humble, merciful, temperate, laborious, patient, and your prayer shall always penetrate the heavens and shall be heard and fulfilled. Always pray with your whole heart and above all with a pure heart. There was given unto the angel such an incense that he should after it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Revelation. And to you also this incense is given. The censer with the incense ought always to remind you of this, that is, of how easily your prayer for yourself and for the errors of the people and their iniquities is sent to God and is accepted by Him. You glorify God in your words, but do not glorify Him in your deeds. Glorify God above all by your deeds, by temperance, laboriousness, love, mercy, humility, and patience. Do not doubt in any truth, or doubt of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? St. Matthew 14, chapter 31st verse. Woe unto us for our doubt and presumption. The sacrament of unction with the holy oil is spiritual honey, life-giving drink. What a wealth of hope! What prayers! It is an abstract of the whole gospel. How little men really require, and how abundantly the Lord bestows His gifts upon us in order that we may supply our brethren with food and drink. We only give away a little food from the river, and even this is God's and not ours. And yet we are avaricious, stingy, we grudge every penny, and grow anxious as though we were threatened with the loss of our life itself. Oh, how wanting Christians are! Oh, vain, blind trust in food and drink! O vials of the flesh, O want of Christian simplicity! He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. St. John 6, chapter 56, verse. As an infant carried in its mother's bosom lives wholly by her, so also the Christian, communicating of the body and blood of Christ, dwells in Christ, like an infant in its mother's bosom, and lives wholly in Christ. As I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. St. John 6, chapter 57th verse. In what then do you trust besides your Christ, communicant of God's mysteries, and especially you who are a priest? Do what you do. To what do you cleave? In what do you seek your life? Is it in money which made Judas hang himself? Is it in food and drink? But your incorruptible food is the body of Christ, of which you so often partake. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire in comparison of thee. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The malice of the enemy. The more piously a man lives, the more the devil forces men to anger against him, as was the case with the Saul against the pious David. The more holy a person is, the more such a one is blasphemed, as for instance the Holy Virgin, who is more honorable than the Cherubim and incomparably more glorious than the Seraphim. The devil incites us to exalt ourselves before simple-hearted persons, and to despise the simplicity of their faith and the very objects of their faith and reverent worship. The Word of God says, "Be not drunk with wine," Ephesians 5:18, whilst you, builders of public houses, say, "Get drunk with wine," and have built thousands of public houses to tempt your brethren, and yet you go to church and pray. pray in your homes. They flatter with tongue, destroy doubt them, O God, let them perish through their own imaginations. Cast them out in the multitude of their ungodliness, for they have rebelled against thee. The Lord is everything good for me and in me. I myself am a moral nothingness, and chiefly evil, as my Lord says. Without me you can do nothing. St. John 15, chapter 5, verse. This is the Lord. This the Lord says even to every saint. But if the Lord is every good for me and in me, then he is the same in relation to the saints, for they are also men like unto me. For instance, the saints pray for us by the grace bestowed upon them by God. Had the Lord not given them grace to pray for us, they could not do so. Undoubting faith, undoubting hope, undoubting love, implant these words in your heart and show them in your life. In this world, be one with others in mutual love and service. Then not only the angels and saints will be one with you, but even God himself here, and still more there in the future world, when God shall be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 28, verse. Strive, man, by every means to attain to such union, avoiding any spiritual separation through self-love, pride, envy, covetousness, doubt, and little faith, and that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. St. John 17, chapter 21st verse. Union is God. Separation is the devil. The separation of the churches was the work of the devil. Heresies, dissent, are the work of the devil. If you agree to eat and drink much, then you will be flesh, whilst if you fast and pray, then you will be spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5th chapter 18th verse, and 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter 6 and 8 verse. Fast and pray, and you shall accomplish great things. This satiated man is incapable of great works. Have simplicity of faith, and you shall accomplish great things. For all things are possible to him that believeth. Be watchful and zealous, and you shall do great things. If joy be in heaven over one sinner who repenteth, St. Luke 15, chapter 17, 10th verses. Then what a joyful time for God's good angels our great Lent must be, and particularly the days of the penitence and communion, the Fridays and Saturdays, and how greatly priests contribute to this, their joy, by carefully paternally confessing their spiritual children. But on the other hand, there is no more grievous time for the demons than the season of Lent, and therefore they rage more furiously and attack priests who help God's people to sincerely repent of their sins. With a special cruelty, and are especially powerful both in church and at home, in chilling the hearts of the pious Christians who are zealous in prayer, fasting, and penitence. What pious priest and layman does not know of the demonical fury attacking them even during the very performance of the sacrament of penitence? The least negligence on the part of the confessing priest This move is unrighteous movement of the heart, and the devil enters into the heart of a priest with all their demonical ferocity and torment him for a long, long while. If he does not immediately drive out these uninvited guests by the most fervent prayer of repentance and lively faith, Moses' fast was for the intemperance of the Israelites. The sufferings of the saints were for our effeminacy. Their fast and privations for our intemperance and luxury. Their fervent prayers are for us who are so slothful in prayer. The fast of our Lord Jesus Christ was for our intemperance. His hands were stretched out on the cross, for our hands stretched out towards the forbidden tree and to everything forbidden by the commandments of God. Our prayers are imputed to others for the justification of those for whom we pray, also our exploit and virtues on behalf of others, as for instance our prayers for the departed and the living, and our alms for the poor. Thus the prayers and tears of a mother of Augustine for her son saved Augustine. At confession, do not spare yourself, do not hurry, do not grow agitated and angry with your spiritual children who come to you. Say to yourself, it is my pleasure to confess my spiritual children in detail. They are the sheep of my Lord. I thus offer the most pleasing sacrifice to my Lord, who laid down his own life for us, and afford great profit to my spiritual children themselves as well as to myself by willingly fulfilling my important duty and thus obtain peace of conscience. Why did not the Almighty create the world at once but in 6 days in order to teach man by deeds to perform his work gradually, not hurriedly, but with consideration? If you pray, pray without hurrying. If you read the gospel, or in general any religious or worldly books, do not read them hurriedly, but read with consideration and with a true view of the matter. If you are learning a lesson, do not hurry to finish it quickly, but penetrate into the subject deeply and consider it well. If you are doing any work, do it without hurrying, with consideration, quietly. Even the world was not created instantaneously, but in 6 days. The Lord shows us an example in everything. Let us follow in His steps. The characteristics of men of the second half of the present 19th century are self-worship, self-government, autonomy, materialism in life, and spiritual skepticism, incredulity. And it's much, much worse now. I promise you the angelic life, Abraham's bosom, to shine forth like the sun. But you have set at naught my promises, the words of my mouth, in which there was never any falsehood. Why is it that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment? St. Matthew 12, chapter 36, verse. Because every idle word brings harm both to the soul and to the man who speaks idly, and to those who listen to such idle speaking. For it withdraws them from God, the Word, who is in complex. This is why during Lent we ask the Lord that our hearing may not be tempted by idle speaking. Give me not the spirit of vain speaking. Prayers of Saint Ephraim the Syrian. Bear with humble submission to the will of God every sorrow, every sickness and infirmity, every labor, every offense and disappointing, saying, Thy will be done, St. Matthew 6, chapter 10, verse, St. Luke 11, chapter 2nd verse, knowing that God's mercy orders everything for your good, and that the Lord can easily change every disappointment into happiness and joy. Health and the belly, these are the two idols, especially with men of the present age, of whom I myself, a great sinner, am one, for which we live and which we continually serve, even to the neglect of the duties of our Christian calling, for instance, to the neglect of the reading of the Word of God, which is sweeter than honey and honeycomb, to the neglect of prayer, that sweetest converse with God, and of the perishing and of the preaching of the Word of God, to walk a great deal for health, and to entice the appetites to eat with appetite, such are the objects of the desires of the and aspirations of many of us. But through our frequent walks, through our fondness for food and drink, we shall find that one thing has been neglected and another irrevocably missed, whilst others have not even entered into our minds. For can the time after a good dinner or supper be really a good time for any serious work? Even if we would like to occupy ourselves with work, the belly full of food and drink draws us away from it and constrains us to rest, so that we begin to slumber over our work. What sort of work can it be? Indeed, there is nothing left, if it is after dinner, but to lie down and rest, and if it is after supper, after having prayed somehow or other, for a satiated man cannot even pray as he should, to go to bed and sleep. The miserable consequence of the overloaded stomach until the next morning. And in the morning there is another sacrifice to your belly, ready in the shape of dainty breakfast. You get up, pray, of course, not with your whole heart, since with your whole heart we can only eat and drink, walk, read novels, go to theaters, dance, and at evening parties, dress elegantly, and thus you pray out of habit, carelessly, to save appearances only, as a form without the essence of the prayer, without lively faith, without power, without any fervor in your petitions, praises, and thanks to the Lord God for his uncountable mercies, and then you hurry again to food and drink. At last, when you have eaten and drunk so much that now scarcely able to move, you are ready to begin work, if it really is work, and not rather an activity, for such, for instance, as trading with some worldly vanities, accompanied by an abundance of swearing, lying, and cheating, and such, or a similar way with many and many of us, our present life passes away, and our days continue in vanity, whilst we care little for that which is the most important matter on earth, the salvation of our soul. Thus our life is spent mainly in the worship of two bridal idols, health and the belly, and then dress, so much so that many, by worshipping fashion, sacrifice even their health and food, thus going to the other extreme. Furthermore, people worship money, this great god, the Jupiter of our age. For the sake of this idol, many sacrifice their health, spending sleepless nights for its sake, swearing falsely for it, violating the laws of friendship for it, becoming cold to their relatives through it, all with the one purpose of accumulating as much money as they possibly can. They are money lovers who, if it were possible, would turn everything into money and would live by it, like Judas Iscariot, who wished to turn into money even the precious ointment with which the pious woman who loved her Lord with her whole soul anointed his feet and then wiped them with her hair. Christian, it is not for your health, belly, dress, and money that you must care. You must strive after love for God and your neighbor, for these are God's two greatest commandments. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and in God, and God in him. 1 John 4, chapter 16, verse. Amen.